Today's daf in Masechet Brachot is daf Lamed Gimel, and we are holding on Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph. We got up to yesterday the first two dots in the middle of the very thin lines on the top, and the Mishnah continued to say, "Afilu nachash karuch al hakevo lo yafsik," that even if he's got a snake, poisonous snake, is wrapped around his leg, he shouldn't be mafsik his tefila. Om Rav Sheshi lo shanu elo nachash aval akrav posek. That's only a snake, but if you got something really dangerous, like a scorpion, then you should, in fact, stop your Shemoneh Esrei. Meitvei. How can you say that a snake and a scorpion are different and that a snake is not 100% reliable to get rid of you? Doesn't it say that if someone sees a guy falling into a lion's den, then ein me'in l'alav shemet? You cannot, if you didn't see him dead, you can't say to his wife that she can remarry. But if you see him fall into a chafirah, filled with nechashim and or akravim, then you can be made to his wife that her husband died, even though you didn't see him dead. So apparently nechashim are just as dangerous as akravim. Yes, over there it's different because you fall on top of them. If you fall on top of them, you must admit that's a little bit irritating to Mr. Nachash, who just got smushed by you. And so his immediate reaction would be to inject you with a little bit of poison over here. So agav itzitza maski. Because of the pressure of the fall, certainly the menachash will be masik. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, if you see any oxen, then stop your Shemoneh Esrei and get the heck out of there. The Tani Rav Hoshaya, marchikim mishor tam chamishim ama, umishor muad kmolo einav. Even a nice placid shor that's never killed anybody before, keep a minimum of 50 amas away from him. And if you see a shor that has attacked people before, then as soon as he comes within range of vision, get away. Tonamishmeidi Rabbi Meir, you know what they say? Rage tura bidikula. You've got the head of a shor placidly chewing on the food in the basket that's around its neck. I'll tell you what to do. Get up to the closest roof and get rid of the ladder. Make sure, because he'll follow you. Ushti darga mitotach. Omar Shmuel, but okay, we're not talking about like all year round. First of all, we're talking about a really vicious kind of ox. It's all black. It's the Yomei Nisan, which is when the fields are filled up with all kinds of delicious things to eat. And he's really starting to feel his oats. Mipnesha Satan Mirakedlo bin Karnav. That kind of shore, you might as well have a demon dance between his horns, man. This shore is ready. Now, the pronunciation here is not 100% clear. There's an animal that is called an arod, mentioned in the Torah, one of the chayas. And this is not what we're talking about over here. There is also a reptile, which many of the achronim suggest should not be even enunciated arod. It's a combination of other reptilian species. And it's very vicious. And they suggest it should be pronounced arvat. So just to just to distinguish it between an arod, let's indeed do that. So anyway, there was this terrible arvat that used to bite people as it walked along, as they walked along, would come out of its hole. And I am aziket abriot. So they came and they told Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. So he said to them, show me where its hole is. So they showed him. He takes his foot and he puts his heel over the hole. So sure enough, the arvat comes out and bites Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa and drops dead. Anyway, so he takes this arvat, puts it across his shoulder, and he brings it into the Beis HaMedrash. And he says to them, okay, guys, you're all nervous about a little arvat here and there, Reubonai, ein arvat meimit. It's the chait that's meimit. And if you're a guy like me and you know you don't have any chataim, you have nothing to worry about. So it's not going to hurt you. You want to do teshuvah? Do teshuvah, but don't be scared of an arvat. That's for darn sure. Botasha amru, that's when they coined the saying, woe to a man who meets up with an arvat, but woe to an arvat who meets up with Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. So it's obviously not every person that can allow himself this type of thing. Okay, do we have our Richie? Do we have our doc? Oh my gosh. Well, ein hadavar talui ela bi, as they say. Zok der heilige Mishnah. Maskirin givurot kishamim betichiyat hametim u she'ela bebirkat hashanim v'havdala b'chonin hada'at. Rabbi Akiva Omer Omra Beracha Revi'it B'fnei Atzma, and Rabbi Eliezer Omer Bohoda'a. So now that we've finished the first part of our perek that describes the state of tefillah, we now want to go into the various elements of the tefillah itself, in which we have things that are more nogea states. That is to say, they're not specific things that we are being mispallel for, but they are things that we have to mention in the context of being in a state of tefillah. So we don't have a bracha at the beginning about the gvura of Geshami. We have a bracha about the need for water. That's much later, of course, which is called the Birkat HaShanim. However, there's the concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's show of the midas that were expressed in Ma'aseh Bereishis, which occurred during the first three brachas. And there's place to be mazkir, to mention things because of the power of the connection that we have, not as a request. That is part of Techiyat HaMeitim, the bracha of Techiyat HaMeitim. We're going to see why. When it comes to asking for water, that we do Birkat HaShanim. Don't get confused with that. Now, Havdalah we mention. Again, we're not asking, but we're mentioning Havdalah. Where do we do that? Well, we do that obviously only on Motzei Shabbat, and we do that in the first bracha of the Brachot HaBakasha, which is Chonin HaDa'at, which is how we do it. Rabbi Akiva says, no, that is itself a special idea, and that should be the fourth bracha of Shmoneh Esrei, attached to the first three brachas. And you mention Havdalah because that's part of Ma'aseh Bereishis, and therefore it should be the fourth bracha of Shmoneh Esrei, not included in the other brachas. B'fnei Atzma. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, you say that bracha as part of Modim, and it's part of the Birchas Hoda'ah next to the last bracha of your Shmoneh Esrei. Let's take a look at the Mishnah piece by piece. Baskirin Gvorot HaGeshamim, my timer. Why would we put in Tchiyat HaMeitim? Om Rav Yosef, well, mitoch sheshekula kitchiyat HaMeitim, lefichach kiva'ua betchiyat HaMeitim. We find many instances, like from the Gemara in Ta'anit, where we compare the power of the renewal of the earth through the giving over of the rains and the renewed fertility. It's similar to Tchiyat HaMeitim, and therefore we put it together with the bracha of Tchiyat HaMeitim. And She'ela, why do we put She'ela in the Broch She'elat HaGishamim, in the middle of Birkat HaShanim? Om Rav Yosef, well, that's obvious. I mean, basically, all of our economy ultimately depends on the earth, and therefore, mitoch she'i parnasa, and the Brocha Birkat HaShanim is the Brocha asking for our parnasa, no matter what that is. So even though it's not inherently agricultural, but since it all comes down to the earth, l'fichach kiva'ua b'birkat ha'parnasa. And then Havdalah is mentioned as part of Chonen HaDa'at, my time. Om Rav Yosef, mitoch she'i chuchma, kiva'uha b'birkat chuchma. Look, it requires intelligence and discernment and discrimination. We're using the word chuchma over here in the general sense, including chuchma, bina, and da'at. And as a matter of fact, in the Yerushalmi, the Lashon is mitoch she'i da'at, kavua b'birkat ha'da'at. But the idea, as we'll see throughout the sugya, is that we're using the general term of the birkat ha'chuchma, connected all elements of Chokhmah, and since discrimination is the ultimate sense of the meaning of Chokhmah, we put it there. Rabbanan say, mitoch shehi chol, lefichach kavuha bibrikat chol. The idea over here is that it belongs at the beginning of your weekday activities. What's your first weekday activity? Well, you've been in Shabbos, and you've been davening all of your amidot in terms of Shabbos. Now it's chol. The first thing you do for the week that you didn't do during Shabbat is to be mavakesh atachonein le'adam da'at. So therefore, in the context of that bracha, you are now being osek in chol, and now is the time to say the inyan of Havdalah. You don't have to come onto its being a function of da'at, because that is irrelevant to its placement, according to Chachamim. Om Rabbani Gedolat De'ash Nitna B'tchilat Bracha Shochol. Note over here we use the lashon of Da'at as opposed to Chochma. And it is so important that it is the beginning of our requests. V'omer Rabbi Ami Gedolat De'ash Nitna Ben Shtei Otiyot. The Shemot Hashem are called Otiyot. Rashi says elsewhere that the lashon of Otiyot in reference to the Shemot Hashem could very well be because the word Ot does not mean letters here. It means otot, like otot umoftim. And every shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an oath of his presence in the world. And therefore, we call it Ben Shtei Otiyot. One of the fascinating pshatim that Rashi offers on the Losha that we find often in the Gemara about Shtei Otiyot. Over here, meaning Shtei Shemot. Shenemar ki El Deot Hashem. So the word Deot comes between the two Shemot, Kel and Yudke Vovke. V'chol mi she'en bo dea, asur l'rachim alav, a person who has no discernment, don't even have rachamim on him. Shenema ki lo am binotu. Note that now we're using bina as dea, which before was in Birkat HaChokhma. So, al kein lo yirachamenu osehu. Omar Rabbi Elazar godol migdash, shenitan ben shtei otiot. The Beis HaMikdash itself was also, because what do we say? Tevi'emo v'titayimu bahar nachalatecha mechon l'shiftecha pa'alta Hashem migdash Hashem. So, Machon Leshivtecha Pa'alta Hashem, Yudke Vavke, Migdash, and then the Adnus, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, Konenu Yadecha. So, the same thing is true about the Beis HaMigdash itself, similar to Da'at per se. And of course, we understand why that would be true, the ultimate place of discernment. And therefore, Omer Rebbe Elazar, Kol Adam Sheyesh Bo Da'at Ke'ilu Nivna Beit HaMikdash B'Yamav. In fact, having Da'at is as if the Beis HaMikdash was built in your days. Da'at Nitna Ben Shtei Otiyot, and Mikdash Nitan Ben Shtei Otiyot. Matkif Lo Rebbe Acher Karchino. If you say that every place that a word occurs between two Shemot, then you should say that vengeance is a good thing. Elamiata G'dola Nekama, Shenitna Ben Shtei Otiyot, Shenemar El Nekamot Hashem. Omar Leh, what's your problem? Of course. What could be more important than vengeance? It's the restoration of universal harmony. In Bemilta Mia Gedolahi. Of course it's important. It's central to life. Vahainu di Omar Ula, Shtei Nikamot Alolo, El Nikamot Hashem, El Nikamot Ofia. Why does it have two Nikamot? Achat Tova Veachat L'ra'a. Because Nikama per se is the restoration of harmony. It doesn't mean something bad in its essence. So you can use in the same pasuk one letova and one lera'a. The tova would be hofia mehar paran, because that hofia we darshan to mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael the money that would belong to the Umma Zayilam, and therefore Shor Shal Yisrael, that was mazik, Shor Shal Akum is potter. And there is the hofia mehar paran, the lera'a is the chtiv el nekamot Hashem, where they were punished. El nekamot hofia. So the hofa'a is good. Good in the sense of giving it something to us, and the bad is the punishment of the Akum for not being Mekabel Torah. Rabbi Akiva says the bracha of Atachonein is a separate bracha, the fourth bracha of Shmona Esrei, before the bracha of Da'at, after Akela Kadosh. I don't understand how we don't know how to make a bracha, for God's sake. I mean, this is a bracha that we've been making since the time that the Anshei Knesset HaGdola were metaken the tefillah, weren't we? I mean, Anshei Knesset HaGdola tiknu lem liYisrael brachot, tefillot, kedushot, hafdalot. I mean, so do we sit around wondering what the correct way to daven is? I mean, we do that every day, and so we've kept it up since then. Nichsei hechi takon. Let's see what the original takona was. Why are we arguing about this? Omar lo, it's not true, because you see, you're right that initially there was a takana in tefillah, but then when Klal Yisrael became richer after the first very lean years of coming back and rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash at the time of Ezra, so when we became sufficiently plentiful with our cash, so Chazal were koveya that we should be able to use wine to make avdola. They took it out of the tefillah, and during that period we were making avdola only on wine and forgot how it was in the good old days when we didn't have any money. We don't remember that. Then after all of the tzoras of Yisrael, they ended up becoming poor again. So there was a chazor, okay, we have to go back to tefillah. And it's there that we got confused. So what indeed was the original takona? And at that point, they made a takona. We can't keep going back and forth depending on the financial abilities of Yisrael, and that every week, even if we say Havdalah during davening, we still have to say Havdalah on wine, if you can afford it. Itmanami Amrib Chibarav Amrib Yochanan Shekneset HaGdolah Tiknulem LeYisrael Brachot Tvilot Kedushot VeHavdalot. But since betchila kavua betvila, hashiru kavua lakos, chazru ve'anu kavua betvila, and at that point they mamru hamavdil betvila tzarich shiavdil alakos. Yit manami rabba v'rav yosi damer tavayu, hamavdil betvila still needs to be mavdil alakos. Omar Rabba, you know, we ask on ourselves, that doesn't it say, Mutvinan Hashmaitin ta'a v'lo yizkir gvorot kshamim b'tchiyat ha-metim. Let's say a guy made a mistake, and he forgot to say v'tein talu matar. He forgot to say the at the time morir atal, mashiv ruach morir ageshem. He didn't say morir atal. Or he forgot to ask v'tein talu matar b'brikat ha-shanim. He has to say Shmon Esrei over again. Havdalah b'chonin hadat, but if you forgot to say atachonin, then in machzirin oto. Why not? Because he can always say it on a cup of wine. So what do you mean, he could always say it? I thought you said he has to always say it. You're right. Wrong girsa. Lo teim b'deshi yocholo omra alakos. Instead say because he's going to have to say it anyway. On a koshel yayin. Yit manami omer Rebbe bin Yomim bar Yefet. Sha'al Rebbe Yossi et Rebbe Yochanan b'tzidon. But some say that Reb Shimon ben Yaakov ben Tzur asked Reb Yochanan et Sidon, and I was there and overheard the conversation. Va'ana shamayit, this is what he asked, Amavdil b'tvila, tzarich shiavdil alakos o lo? And Reb Yochanan said to him, yes, absolutely, tzarich shiavdil alakos. Now, what about the other way around? How about if you said Havdolah before you said Ma'ariv, and you were Mavdil on alakos? Do you go back to be Mavdil b'tvila? Omre b'achbar bar Yitzchak, obviously, because look, man, it's a kal v'chomer. It kal v'chomer for tefillah, because remember the ikar takana before anybody ever thought of making avdola on wine. The ikar takana of avdola was originally in tefillah, right? So ma tefillah di ikar takana. Nonetheless, we say that even though you were mavdil the ikar takana in tefillah, you still have to go back and be mavdil on wine. So alachas kama v'kama, if you were mavdil on wine, which is not the ikar takana of avdola, of course you're still going to have to go back and do the ikar takana in the tefillah. Tony Revacha Richa Kame de Rebbe Chanina Amavdil Betvila Mishubach Yoter Mimishi Avdil Alakos. Look, it's a bigger madrega to be Mavdil in Tvila than to be Mavdil on the wine. And if you did both, Imivdil Bezo Bezo, Yanuchu Lo Brachot Arosho. Now, this makes absolutely no sense. If you started off saying, Okuvakash, you started off saying that someone who is Mavdil Betvila is better than somebody who is Mavdil on a kos of wine. Okay, so what does that mean? Obviously, it means that he's arguing with Rabbi Yochanan, and that he's saying that it is sufficient to be mavdil in tefila alone, right? So, ama tefila lechute. You see that tefila alone would be sufficient, but if tefila alone is sufficient, then how could you hoder tani im yivdil bezu bezu yenuchlo brachot al rasho? That makes no sense. You're doing the wrong thing. Because if you were already yotze with tefila, given another lebechada, so now you're potter. So now that you're saying the bracha again on the coast, isn't that a bracha she'ina tzricha? Didn't Rav, or some say it was Rish Lakish, some say it was Reb Yochanan and Rish Lakish together, that somebody who says a bracha that is not necessary, which is precisely what we're talking about over here, he's going to be over on the iser of lo sisar shem Hashem elokecha lashav. It's a horrible thing to do. So how could we say yanuchu lo brachot al rosho? He did the wrong thing. Something's wrong with the lashon of this whole maimer over here. Says the Gemara, Ela Ema, you're correct. It should say like this. Im yivdil bezo velo yivdil bezo. If you did only one and you were sensitive to the fact that you were already yotze, and you were careful not to say an additional bracha for no reason, yanuchu lo brachot arosho. Obviously, this is a shita, keneged the shita that we had before of Rabbi Yochanan, that for sure you have to say on both tefillah and the kos. B'ayminei Rav Kisa Rav Sheshet. How about if ta'a bezo bezo mahu? Omarle ta'a bezo bezo chozer l'ros. How about if a guy said his tefillah, forgot to say the bracha v'atachonatanu, and then he forgot to make havdola, and he went ahead and he ate and he drank and did malacha without making havdola. So now he is in a position where he has to essentially start all over again. In other words, put himself back in Shabbat, go back and say the tefillah over again and say the havdolah on the coast. This is the way almost all of the Rishonim learn. It certainly doesn't make any sense on the surface, because what in the world is the point of doing it all over again if all you need to do is to be yotze? So the Talmid and Rabbi Yonah learn that it's a getter of a knas because of the fact that you walked all over havdolah. So we give you a knas to say the tefillah over again, which everybody asks. What kind of weird knas is that? Where do we see that we tell people to say a whole tefillah of brachas that are unnecessary as a knas? I mean, it's like a weird kind of thing. And the truth is, very interestingly, I mean, even though we paskin this halacha l'maisa, and the Mishnah Berurah paskins it, because it's almost all the Rishonim learn that that's the pshat, the Rambam totally ignores this. And understands the Gemara apparently in a completely different way, which is im ta'a b'zo b'zo. It doesn't mean if he was toa in avdola, for God's sake. It means if he made some kind of mistake in the Birchos Shemoneh Esrei. So he left out one of the brachos. So anyway, he's going to have to go back, right? So if he's going back anyway, says the Rambam, he should go back to the beginning of the middle brachos, which over there, all of those brachos are seen as one continuum. So start from Atachonein and then put in this bracha as well, which makes a heck of a lot more sense. Okay, continues the Gemara now on Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis. Omalei Ravina L'Ravava. So what's halacha l'maisa? Do you say Avdola on the coast after the tefillah or not? Omale, of course you do. Look, you say Kiddush every single Friday night in your tefillah Amida, correct? That's exactly the lashon of Kiddush. You say the whole Kiddush, basically. And your Mekadesh is the Shabbos, Mekadesh HaShabbat. So when you come home, do you say Kiddush again? I mean, of course. That's, everybody understands. The mitzvah saying Kiddush at your su'ud is unrelated to the fact that you said Kiddush in tefillah. Well, Havdolah and Kiddush are the same mitzvah, for heaven's sakes. The idea of the mitzvah of Zechoret Yom HaShabbat is to be able to make the distinction between Shabbos and Chol at the beginning through Kiddush and at the end through Havdolah. Well, if you take for granted that you make Kiddush when you come home after saying Kiddush in Shemoneh Esrei, I shouldn't say Shemoneh Esrei, only Art Scroll does that, but after saying Kiddush in your Amidah, so then why would it be any different at the end of Shabbos? You would say Havdolah at home after saying Havdolah in your Amidah. So just like Kiddush, Havagav the Mekadosh B'Tzolut, the Mekadosh HaKasa, Havdolah is the same thing. Even though you were Mavdel B'Tzolut in your Tefillah, Mavdel HaKasa, you say Havdolah on your coast. This doesn't mean it's Spanish Casa, but it's just as good. You got to say Havdolah when you get back to the Casa. Rabbi Eliezer Omer B'Hoda'ah, say your Havdolah in Modim. Rabbi Zera was once riding on a chamor, and behind him was Reb Chiya Barovin walking afterwards, trying to get whatever he could in learning from him. So he was like plodding along behind the chamor, and he said to him, is it really true when you quoted Rabbi Yochanan, Vadid Amrita Mishmeda Rabbi Yochanan, that the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer, the Yontav Shechali Yot Achara Shabbat? So let's think about that for a moment. After Shabbos, okay, we normally would say, like the Chachomim, Atachonein la'adam da'at, and we say Atachonatanu, what happens if it's Yontav? You still have to say Havdolah after Shabbos between Shabbos v'Yontav because you're going to a lesser Kedusha, right? But you don't have the bracha of Atachonein la'adam da'at on Yontav. Now, what the heck are you going to do? You're saying Atabachartanu b'kol ha'amim, where in the world is there room to say Havdolah? So under those circumstances, I heard that you quoted that when it comes to a yontiv, that we do like Reb Eliezer, and we say it in modim. Is that true? Omar Lay, yes, it's absolutely true. Mean? So what do you mean when you say halacha exactly? Halacha, when a person paskins halacha, it means that there's a machloket. Is there, in fact, a machloket? It's yontiv. There is no other bracha. So, I mean, what do you mean when you say halacha? What do you mean? V'lo pligi, v'ha pligi rabbonin. The rabbonin say, you're supposed to say it in Atachonin. Yeah, I understand, but that's where there is a brach of Atachonin. Emer de pligi rabbonin b'shayimot ha'shana. I'm asking you about the case of Yontav Shkaliot HaShabbat, where there is no bircha Atachonin mi pligi. Okay, fine, so not the rabbonin, but Rabbi Akiva argues, Rabbi Akiva says you say the brach of revit b'fnei atzma. So I said halacha. Well, I don't understand. We never do like Rabbi Akiva all year round. Why would we do like Rabbi Akiva now? Atu kol hashana kula miavdinik Rabbi Akiva to make a new bracha. All of a sudden, now we should do like Rabbi Akiva. I mean, think about this. It's not like Rabbi Eliezer. Tell me why it is that we ignore Rabbi Akiva. I'll tell you. Obviously, my time alone, avdinik Rabbi Akiva. The rabbonin, the yanchik nezegdola made a takona of 18 brachot. Okay. According to Rabbi Akiva, all of a sudden, the Shmona Esrei becomes the Chah Esrei. The Chah Esrei becomes the Esrim. There ain't no such animal. And lo tikun. So therefore, hachinami. It's the same thing on a yontav, shkaliot achar Shabbos. What's the amida? Seven brachas, okay? Shav takun. There's no such thing as a takana of eight brachas. Rabbi Akiva can't come along and say, let's throw in another bracha. Omar le, well, I didn't say it's a halacha, as if to say there was a bachor, because I just said matin itmar. That, you know, I mean, the das follows along. I mean, I wouldn't get up and paskin in front of the tzibur. The halacha is, you're right about that. But when people ask me what to do, I tell them to do like this. Itmar, yitzchum ravadimar mevshum rabbeinu, halacha. But some say it was the word matin, not halakha. Rabbi Yochanan, in this version, as opposed to the version of Rabbi Yochanan we had before from Zira, says modim, that everybody agrees. There's nothing to argue about. In this case, where there is no bracha, that, of course, we say it in modim. And Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Omar, near in, it appears to me that that's what you would do. Omar Rabbi Zira in the code, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba biyadcha, it must be that the correct language was near-im. Because you know what? Rabbi Chiya bar Abba is always very, very careful about how he says words over when he quotes them. The Dayak v'gomer shmaitzu b'pumi demora, shapir. Careful and perfect. Rechovah and Pumpadita, the same care that the famous Rechovah and Pumpadita used to use the words of his teachers, even though they were very unfamiliar words to most people. Because you know, when Rechovah quoted Rabbi Yehuda, he said the following lashon: the Har Habayit was sta'o kaful haya, v'haya sta'o lifnimi sta'o. Now that word sta'o, by the way, it still survives, I'm sure, in the word stadium. So a stadium is essentially a sta'o. A sta'o means stadium seating, in which you have different levels of seats, one behind the other, which is sta'o lifnimi sta'o. And that was not a word that was used in Hebrew. What they used at that time was the word itztaba. And that's what everybody else used. He went out of his way to say the Lashon of Rabbi Yehuda. Omer of Yosef, I can tell you, I never heard of any of this stuff, okay? None of it is true. Not Rabbi Akiva, not Rabbi Eliezer, not the Rabbanan, nothing that you guys said over. Ana lo hayadana v'lo hayadana, I know of a magical bracha that, incredibly, was made up by Rav and Shmuel. Can you imagine? Rav and Shmuel made up their own bracha? Yep. The Takinalan Marganita Bebovel, they made a pearl, and they gave us that pearl in Bovel. It's absolutely gorgeous. And they said that on a Matzai Shabbos, which comes out on the first night of Yontev, what you say is, Vatodienu Hashem Elokeinu et mishpitei tzidkecha vatlamdenu lasot chukei retzonecha vatanchilenu zmanei sason v'chagei nedava v'torishenu kidushat Shabbat uchvod moed v'chagigat haregel. Bein kedushat Shabbat veKedushat Yom Tov Hivdalta, veEt Yom HaShivi Misheshet Yomei HaMaase Kidashta, Hivdalta veKidashta Et Amcha Yisrael veKedushatecha, and then you move on to the continuation of the normal bracha of the Sheva, veTiten Lono Hashem Elokeinu Et Yichag HaMatzot Hazeh, or whatever it is, and that incredibly has incorporated in the seven brachas the entire beautiful transition between Shabbos and Yontev and the interrelationship. I think that is a pearl. Don't waste your time arguing about whether we should follow Modim or New Brachas. We've got the correct solution. And now we are holding at the Halakha Mishnah. And again, Richie is at last present and ready to finally cut in. Does he still have beautiful yellow flowers behind him? Or is he surrounded by kitchen shelving? Only the camera will tell us for sure. Only the camera will tell us for sure. Uh-oh. Oh, Sir Richard. This doesn't look good, gentlemen. I'm afraid I may have to kick in again because Doc, once more. No, there's Doc. Aha, I see him hiding in his car. Okay, Doc. Take it on. Unmute. Wow. Oh, wow. I mean, the Rebbe is not happy. I mean, he was thinking about the ultimate Litvisha Zokta Halakha Mishnah. Look at the Rebbe's face. He is absolute. Oh, my gosh. And the Gabbai is trying to protect us all. Okay. But it's a refreshing, straightforward, no-nonsense take on the Halakha Mishnah that's coming up. Ha'omer al-kan tzipor yagiyo rachamecha v'al tov yizacher shemecha modim modim b'shat kimoto. Now, as Rashi so beautifully points out, Davening is often controlled by phonies. Now, these phonies love to show off. And so, when they take over the Amud, they all have these beautiful crying voices, which you may have noticed. Ay, 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 ay. So, meanwhile, this guy is... Now, it never occurs to Rashi that somebody could make these mistakes not being a phony. And that's an amazing thing. And for some reason, how do we know that that's true? We do know it, though, ourselves, right? So Rashi points out, listen, there's always these guys that are trying to show off and pretend, Mar'im Atzman, they're showing themselves off as if they have this deep kavona, laha mik, beloshon tachanunim. Why doesn't Rashi just malamit schus? Maybe these people think these things are good. Because real people don't say stupid things, that's why. So because of that, anyway, these guys that get up there, they're a bunch of phonies. And so they're saying, I made him, anulifanech, and so on and so forth. Or, so they repeat the word modim. Or they say, oh, all the wonderful things you've done for us, al tov yizacher shemecha. Or they got a really brilliant one. Even on a kansipor, oh my gosh, yagil rachamecha, certainly on us. These kind of guys, we shut them up on the spot, mishat kimotam. So we don't allow them all this nonsense. Now, why? What's so terrible? I mean, Bishlam Modim Modim, I understand why we shut them up, because if you say it twice, it looks like you're talking to two different gods, right? So the Mirzib, Kishtei Rishuyot, I thank God A, and I thank God B, and so on. Al Tov Yizacher Shemecha is also very not nice to say, because that's Mashma Al Tova Velo Al Ra'ah. Utnan, we know the Mishnah says that a person is chayev levarech al ra'ah, kishem shem levarech al tovah. So why would a person say, I only thank you for the good things? Ella, but the last thing, al-kan tzipor yagiyu rachamecha. What's so bad about saying that God has mercy towards a little birdie? Pliga batrei amorei b'marav, Reb Yossi bar Ovid and Reb Yossi bar Zvida. It's machlokas. One amor in Eretz Yisrael says, because you're matil kina b'maaseh bereshit. Our responsibility in tefillah is responsibility for all of creation. It's inappropriate, out of a concern for all of creation, to mention one species above another species. Or just if, well, what, all of a sudden, God cares about birdies more than he cares about mosquitoes. What kind of chutzpah is that? So because of that, you have to be very careful when you're speaking. The same way that in the actual story of Maaseh Bereishis itself, remember that the story of Adam, as Rashi brings it, is meant to bring about a balance, which otherwise would have been a kakina but Maaseh Bereishis between the Elyonim and the Tachtonim. That's how important it is. We're not going to say something in the middle of our tefillah that actually messes up the whole balance of Maaseh Bereishis. It's speciesism. V'chadomar, b'pnei sh'oseh midotav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu rachamim ve'enan ela gezerot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hanhoga with the world is nothing to do with your human sensations of feeling rachamim. They may be teaching you to utilize your sensations, but they are not coming because God is a servant to emotions, for God's sake. So because of that, you can't say, God feels mercy towards, this is a hanhoga, fine. So then that means that the ikar point is what you're supposed to get out of it, not what it is that he's feeling. And that entire idea is a violation of the whole concept of mitzvah and being an Eved Hashem and so on. That's why it's so terrible. And because of that, Mishat Kinoto, because essentially we're talking about his gezeras on us. Ahudinochi kamei de Rabba, this guy became the Shliach Tzibur in front of Rabba, and he says, Atach hastal kan tzipor, atach hus v'rachem aleinu. So Rabba says, ah, brilliant, this guy, kama yodai haitzur b'mirabonin l'ritzuye l'more. So Abaya said, what? Mishat Kinoto tonight. Didn't the Mishnah say, shut him up? Of course, Rabba wanted to see if Abaya would stand his ground, you know. Look, I did it, Abaya with the boy. Ahudinochi kamei de Rabbi Chanina. And he's got a real vocabulary. El agadol agibor v'hanura v'hadir v'hayizuz v'hayarui v'hachazak v'hamitra v'adai v'hanechman. Anyway, this guy keeps on going for another hour. And Rabbi Chanina sits there and waits and waits, you know. Simtin lo adesiyem. So when he finished, so he says to him, okay, have you now concluded everything there is to say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shavach? That's wonderful. So siyamtinu l'kula shvache d'marcha. Lomali kulayai, mishungene. Anan hani tzlat damrinin lev damrinin moshe rabbinu b'yarayt avat tokanshi knesset akdolav daknino b'tfila lo avini yicholu l'meimalu. Don't you understand that when we say akela gadola gibor v'anora, if it hadn't been that Moshe Rabbeinu had said those three things in the Torah, shelo yikach shochad, v'lo yisapanim, and then the Anshei Knesset HaGdola came along and they made it part of the tefillah, as we see in Sefer Ezra, we would never have the chutzpah to say anything about HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a Sheva. And you think you know what to say? Anam Rikuli Aiva Azalto? You keep on going? Imagine you've got a king that's got trillions of golden dinarim, right? And somebody gets up and say, oh, our king is amazing. He's got silver all over the place. So I'm an embarrassment. Everything is in the hands of Hashemayim. Anything that happens to a person, anything that is a given in his life, his intelligence, his money, his looks, his height, and so on and so forth, it's all Bidei Shemayim. Those are the givens. There's only one thing that's not a given. Your choice of whether you are Yorei Shemayim, that's entirely into your hands. Because Moshe Rabbeinu said, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu ask of you? Ki'im lir'ah. Wait a minute. But, I mean, Yirat Shemayim, what, that's a small thing to say, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu ask? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu ask of me? That's everything, isn't it? Otu Yirat Shemayim, Yota Zutrati. The Omer Rabbi Chanina, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Ein Lo LaKadosh Baruch Hu Bebeit Genazav, Elo Otsar Shal Yirat Shemayim. All that HaKadosh Baruch Hu owns, basically in its treasure houses, his vast treasures of Yirat Shemayim, Shinema Yirat Hashem, Hi Otsaro, that's its treasure. So if it's so valuable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're making it into like this little thing? Yeah, well, that's the whole point. Legabe Moshe, Milsa Zutrati. That's what Moshe's trying to show them. What is he asking of you? The most obvious, simple thing that is the only thing that you want in your life, you idiot. That's doing him a favor? So when a person uses that kind of language, it's there in order specifically to impress upon you how little that it's all relative. To you, it seems to be such a big thing. It's nothing. Once you got it, baby, you got it. Modim, modim, shatkim oto. Omer Rabbi Zera Kola, Omer Shema, Shema, Omer Modim, Modim, Dami. It isn't only a function of repeating the word Modim. If you would say Shema twice, that would also be Mishatkim oto. Meitve, HaKoreat Shema, V'Kofla. Hareze Migune. It's really low class to say Shema and then to repeat it. Okay, but that doesn't mean we shut you up in public, does it? It's not Mishat Kinoto. It's just that you're Migune, and you said Mishat Kinoto. So you see from here, Migune hu dahavi, but shtuki lo Mishat Kinole, we don't shut you up. Lokasha, adi omar milta milta, vetoni lova, adi omar psuka psuka, vetoni lova. It depends. If you say each word, you say Shema, and then you say Shema again, and then you say Yisrael, or you say Yisrael again, that is Migune. We're not going to shut you up, because you're just like saying something stupid, but you're not saying something that makes it appear as if you have two different gods that you have to be mekabel their malchus on. Mashengin, if you say the whole thing, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, I forgot to thank the other god, you know, that we have to be mekabel his malchus too, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, then indeed Mishatkin Oto, because that, it looks like you have Shtei Rishuyot. Now, that's how Rashi learns. Tosis brings the exact opposite is true. That when you say the entire thing over again, it doesn't necessarily imply that there's another one. You're just re-saying it properly. I don't understand. I mean, don't we need to have kavana for Kriyat Shema? So, I mean, isn't it very likely that the first time the guy realized after he said Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, he realized he didn't have proper kavana, so he wants to say it over again. So what's so terrible? I mean, why would we jump to the conclusion that it's like, it looks like Shtei Rishuyos? Dilma mi'ikara lo kivein daite, lo besof kivein daite. Omar le, I understand. Who is this guy? This guy maybe is like a chavrusa, klapishma, this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chavrusa. Oh, sorry, Joe, I wasn't really thinking, you know, let me say that again. What kind of business is this? I never heard of anybody who's a chavrusa klapi shemaya mi'ika. If the guy couldn't get his kavana straight the first time, I got a great idea. Take a sledgehammer, smash in his brains, and teach him to have kavana. That ought to help. So, if Loki vein daita mikara, machina lebe marzavta de nafcha, take a sledgehammer and teach him a little lesson. Adem chavin daita, that ought to help. So, the idea over here, by the way, very interestingly, halacha lemaisa, is that the Taz says that if, in fact, somebody did not have kavana, and there's nobody around, that then there would be nothing wrong in repeating it for yourself because you know that you didn't have kavanah and you have to have kavanah. And therefore you say it again. And as a matter of fact, if there's no one around, you could even say it aloud. It wouldn't even have to be in a whisper in order to make sure that nobody sees you. So according to him, this din at the end of the Gemara is dafka when you are in public or there's people that are aware of what it is that you're doing. Now, gentlemen, I just wanted to mention that yesterday we had a very striking Gemara, which really should change for us our appreciation of the nature of tefillah. And that was that the Gemara made this blithe assessment of the fact that from the time of the Churban, the Shari Tefillah were Ninalu. And Afapi, that Shari Tefillah were Ninalu, Shari Dima'ot, we said, were not Ninalu. Now that is a very striking kind of thing to say. I mean, so what does that mean? That literally the doors are not open to our tefillah, and that it's as if there's no, it's me'avor tefillah, and that there's an anan or a mechitza, an iron curtain, like the Gemara said before. I mean, so then we're really up against a situation where the only thing that we can do is to cry and to hope that the re'ia of our tears opens up sufficiently the doorway for tefillah. And this is a very, very dramatic kind of statement. And the fact is that people still just go to daven and so on. So I think that the meaning is this, and it's a very important thing to recognize, that the kviyas of Aveda, say at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, we had a kviyas of bringing the korbanos, which then went hand in hand, as we saw that the Kohanim and the Mishmaris would go in and they would daven at the same time of the Aveda. Those were Sidrei Habriya. In other words, there were times where there were, so to speak, doorways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was waiting for, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mit'aveh l'tfilatan shel tzadikim, and this is the time for those tefillahs to come and to be brought forward. They're not things that you have to achieve. There's things that you have to do that we're waiting for. And those are the Shari Tefillah that open. Nowadays, that is not the case. And indeed, when we feel what we go in to be mispalo, it's a battle. It's something that has to come from the depths within us. And anybody who feels that we're going through the motions, it's not as if that's a stupid thing to feel, because there are motions to go through. And there are, just like there are karbonas to be brought. This is part of the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu waits to hear from us. But those types of tefillahs are not open for us any longer. And for us, tefillah actually consists of something that is profound and has to come from deep within. That's the Pshat Shari Tefillahs are not there waiting for you. Okay, here the Malachim are waiting to transmit your tefillahs. You have to work at it. On the other hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu awaits with the Shari Demos, awaits the reactions that you have to the depths of your feelings about life. That is something that was never closed. And that's how Rashi understands the Shari Demos, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always sees the Demos. The only question is, we're mispalos, there should be a response to those Demos. That's something else. But you never have to feel that you're alone and that you have to break through. Your Demos are waited for.